When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? What's going on? What are you guys doing?
Sportsin'.
How's everybody doing?
There's nothing to talk about.
What's going on?
Boring.
What are you doing?
Boring weekend in
sports.
What's
everybody doing?
Boring Monday.
God, that was a great weekend in sports, wasn't it?
There was too much sports.
Yeah, it was great.
There was too much.
It was great.
You know, sometimes, like, can we parcel that out?
No.
Like, that's too much sports. I couldn't keep up with it.
That's the beauty.
It was too much sports.
Nah, that's the beauty.
It's too much.
You can't parse it out. The beauty is you never know when something great is coming.
It's too much.
And it could be all at once, and that's wonderful.
The Mets game about killed me, right? And then college football, you can't start that early, and then we got Woke versus Coke. That went into, like, midnight. That thing was bananas. And then you give me the NFL. It's too much. It's too much. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. It's too much.
Of all of the people.
It's too much.
That would show up on a Monday after a great sports weekend like that and complain.
Much.
Of all of the people.
It's too much.
I would think you can pee on that.
I can't handle it.
And yet here you are.
I can't handle it. The Mets series may break me. It may break. I'm not able to handle this emotional roller coaster. And then you go into the strangest weekend of college football, which, by the way, I told you there were some sneaky matchups. I didn't think it was going to be that. Like, I thought Vandy could push Alabama. I didn't think they'd beat them. Everyone loses. And then you go into the NFL, and that starts at the butt crack of dawn because we got the London games. And it goes all the way with the lightning delay. And Monday Night Football is ending at midnight. Sunday Night Football is ending at into the morning on the East Coast. This is a lot.
That was the best weekend of sports we've had in a long
time. Yes, we have.
And I'm not going to let you disparage it. It was wonderful. And I'm with you that... Maybe there are people that didn't catch all of it.
It's almost impossible.
Because it was really hard to flip around and catch all of that. But, man, you know what? We have a show and we're going to talk about it.
good thing we got,
isn't that exciting?
We got 4 hours. I would also like to make a declaration. Because, I said going into these playoffs that, if the Mets were eliminated, that, I'm open to pulling for some other teams.
Okay.
And recently, Bryce Harper... has entered my non-hate bucket list.
Okay.
He's kind of won me over the last couple years.
Yeah.
I would like to officially make that declaration that is over. And I hate every one of those greasy bastards in Philadelphia. I hope they all rot in hell. And suck it, Philadelphia. Go New York. It took me all of a game and a half to hate yeah. with all my heart the Philadelphia Phillies again. And quite frankly, I'm a little upset that I allowed my hate bucket to be a little empty towards the Phillies.
But that's sports, though. Like, I mean, if you think about it, the Phillies are pretty douchey.
Yes.
But you don't really care about that until you're playing them.
Yes.
And then once you're playing them, you realize how douchey they
it's
are.
Full
they're
all, go.
They're like it's like a team full of Jesse Winkers.
It's all it is. Exactly. And I have to put aside my hatred of the great Winker because he's now in New York. But just that team, I didn't realize how hateable the Phillies were until they came back and won game two. And I'm all on board with the Phillies can go to hell.
If you had a high tee off
between
Jesse Winker and Nick Castellanos,
I don't know.
Who do you think would win?
Well, I think what would happen is Marsh would come in Mr. Fuji style and throw salt in the eyes, and he would, just his greasiness alone.
He's gross.
He's just, he is. You know that guy smells.
Yeah.
You know, and it wouldn't be a fair fight. It wouldn't. And then you get the smarminess of Harper coming. It just, they're just, every one of them. They're just, they're greasy. That's a, they're oily, they're greasy.
Well, I'm sensing some sour grapes from you. That was a, I mean, of all the things that happened over the weekend in sports, that game too might have been the best of any of it. It was so good.
Right up until the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, I mean, well, unless you're a Phillies fan or just as a sports fan, dude, that was bananas.
It was.
It was back and forth. If you didn't see it,
it was
my God, so good.
Yeah.
And the crowd there, I got to give the nod to the Phillies crowd over the Yankees crowd so far.
Yeah. I mean,
that Phillies crowd's way better than the Yankees crowd.
The place was going nuts. When they went back to back, was that in the sixth, the tie at 3-3?
Yeah. Woke them up because it was 3-0.
Yeah, Seve is dealing. He's completely shutting them down. And then the Phillies come back, and then the Mets come back, and then the Phillies come back, and then the Mets come back, and then the Phillies win it in the bottom of the ninth.
If anybody has a gripe, though.
It was amazing.
I know you know, you're the king of taking a dump on something that nobody else could take a dump on.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm not treading on you here. But I will say, if anybody has a gripe, and I'm looking right at Jake over here, our YouTube specialist, who is a Yankee fan, and he is smiling ear to ear at me right now. If you did not see the Royals-Yankees game, the Royals got absolutely hosed in that game. I don't know if there was a call like that in Mets-Phillies or I guess the Tigers and Guardians are on now or Padres-Dodgers. I tried to catch most of that, but that call at second base with Jazz Chisholm, he was out.
Yes.
And I don't understand why he was not called out. As a matter of fact, I got in here today, and by the way, Barry in the lead. Oh, my God. We are at Alen A.
Yes.
We are at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, complete with wing specials. You can bet on Saints Chiefs at the Sportsbook. You can watch the game on the region's largest video board, or you can bet on Oregon Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, now is officially 1-3.
Come on. I think it's 2-3.
Is it 2-3?
Texas.
I thought Ohio State was 1.
No, Texas is 1 because they were idle. Yeah. Or you can play craps, you can play blackjack, you can play pie gal, you can eat a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is your oyster in here, so we'd like you to come on up. Alen A and Ridgefield will be here till 7, but you knew that.
Yes.
Okay, so I walk in here, and Jake over there, and now, full disclosure, we have two Yankees fans in our office.
Yes.
One of whom I was texting back and forth with during the game, Ryan Cooley, our sales manager.
Okay. Bold move, by the way.
Yeah, it is, and I was really trying to get under his skin, and I think it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my whole goal. Otherwise,
what are you doing?
Phone goes in the...
Exactly.
You know, let's just watch.
Yeah. I don't mind. I got a buddy of mine who's a big Mets fan. We text back and forth, but I can't text with the opposing...
Right.
It's bad juju.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Well, I was... Listen, as a little Royals fan, we're playing the mighty Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the better team. We're obviously battling the umpires and the review crew as well. I just wanted to do my best to be scrappy and get under his skin.
Yes.
And I think I did because my whole theme was, this team isn't that good.
Yeah.
Bad defense. Aaron Judge can't hit. I'm like, these guys are not that great. Like, I thought, I expected better. I expected better from the mighty Yankees.
I like it.
And yet we still lost, which is not, that does not bode well.
No.
At any rate, I walk in here and Jake is the other Yankee fan and he's sitting right next to us because he runs our YouTube stream. And he says, and he's smiling ear to ear, but you like that game on. I'm like, haha. And then he said, yeah, I got a buddy who works in the Major League Baseball replay office.
Oh, do we have inside? Do we have inside scoop?
Of course, I'm fishing for inside scoop. And yeah. Hey, look, Jake's a young guy, and I think his buddy's just. I mean, he's not anybody who actually makes the calls. At least I'm at least I think
he's in the building,
Jake.
Is it the same people that are working the ACC crew for the Miami Hurricanes? Same setup.
Well, anyway, I'm fishing for info. I'm like, well, what did he say?
Yeah.
And Jake said, oh no, I just texted him. Thank you. And he didn't say anything. Well, wait, what's the explanation?
There isn't one.
He was out. If you didn't see it, Chaz has
Jazz Chisholm.
I call him Chaz Jism.
I don't think you're allowed to call him that.
There's a new drop.
Is that bad?
I'm not certain. I don't know if there's a deep drive by Castellanos. I don't know if I'm going to be putting this headset on again. Not certain we're allowed to call him that. How about we just call him Jazz, old Jazzy?
Well, anyway, he steals second base.
Yes.
And he had bad slide, bad throw by Salvi, but
he's out.
It looked like he was safe. He should have been safe because the throw was bad, but he slid off. He missed the bag.
Yes.
And he tagged him in the slow motion replay. Clearly shows that.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't overturn it. So that leads me to believe. And look, I hate to be that small market guy who's like, oh, the Yankees. Yeah. But. My God, could it be any more blatant? And then, by the way, the next batter, or maybe the batter after that, got the go-ahead.
Go-ahead
single.
It was the one.
Alex Verdugo.
Yeah,
hit a go-ahead base hit, and that was the game-winning run.
Well, like I said,
come on, man.
Well, Miami now 2 weeks in a row has had as favorable a call as you could have in replay. One against Virginia Tech where they overturned a touchdown, which to this day I still can't figure out how that was overturned. That would have lost them the game. And then Cal, to be fair, Cal deserved to lose that game because they blew a lead that they had no business blowing. But there was the definition of targeting. I don't know if you saw it. It was the ACC after dark. The Cal quarterback is running, and he gets lit up with if I had to put together – like a clip show of what's targeting in the world of college football, that would be like on the medal stand. And they review it and they're like, nah, no targeting. Cal punts, and then Miami in one play gets down there, they score, they win. I mean, and it's just, it's heartbreaking for Cal. But 2 weeks in a row, the ACC officials give the darling of the ACC two wins. It's kind of, like, again, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but it was one of those where I'm like, wow. I mean, that's some ballsy move on the part of the ACC officials.
The problem that I have is that there's no, when they make a call like that.
No explanation.
There's never an explanation. You never get access to, like, here is why we made the call.
Yeah,
because
I was wondering, because I was watching that. When I saw it, I was wondering, is there something where if you slide over the bag and it's like kind of eminent domain? You know, they used to do that when you were turning the double play, right? You didn't actually have to touch the bag. Is there something that if you overslide? I don't know, because he's off the bag when he tags him.
I absolutely love that we're only in the first segment and we've brought eminent domain into slides at second base.
I don't know. That's fantastic. How is he safe?
I don't know. They've screwed it up or the fix is in.
But it's a replay.
How do you? That's what I'm saying.
Well, but again, I go back. Miami 2 weeks in a row has had a replay clearly show one thing and then the refs come on. And both times the announcing crew is like, well, can't overturn this call. Yes, you can. Watch this. The announcers are like, yeah, that's targeting, no doubt about it, and no targeting.
Well, look, it was a great weekend.
It was. It was a bananas weekend.
If anybody should poo-poo it, it's me, bitter sports fan, but it was you.
Yeah.
Who had you in the pool of taking a dump on that great weekend of sports?
I can't take it. It's too much. And we got the Dodgers and Padres may go to war with each other. You want to talk about hatred going on?
I love the, hey, I'll meet you outside.
Yes.
Hey, let's go outside.
By the way, I know you're.
That was Manny Machado.
I know you're a Padre guy, but I think the Padres are trying to outdouche the Phillies.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they're pretty douchey.
That's pretty douchey.
But there's no one like the Phillies. And I think the Dodgers are low-key douchey, sans Shohei.
Yeah.
And the Dodger fans.
Yes.
Okay, so because Jerks and Profar tried to give the ball back to the fan where he had it was kind of a nice moment. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
He robbed a home run from Mookie Betts.
Oh, that ball went later, back out onto the field.
And later, he goes over there and he's smiling and he hands the ball to the guy who almost caught it.
Didn't go well.
And the guy chucks it onto the field.
Followed by a bunch of trash.
So then Profar's like, what the hell? And then another guy throws a ball down at Profar's feet and now it gets weird. And
Tatis is out there talking S and Machado. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
is bad.
It's great.
It's bad.
What a great weekend.
It was.
It was so fun.
Yes. I'm not poo-pooing. It was a lot. My head was spinning, but you are right. I think it's been several years since we have had a weekend that was like that.
And
we didn't even touch on the NFL.
Well,
The NFL had some bananas things.
We got a whole show. This is why we watch sports. You never know. Yeah. Sometimes it's boring.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's lame.
That ain't
sometimes
boring.
You lose all your bets. Other times you win all your bets. Other times it's pure elation.
Yeah.
Other times it's pure sadness, and you just never know.
No.
That's the beauty of it. That's why it's still great for live TV. Whew. And guess what? We have a four-hour show to talk
about.
Yes,
we do.
Let's start with our poll question. Coming up next, we are at Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. Wing specials out here at A&A in Ridgefield. We'll be right back. It's Isaac and Souk on the Fan. Did you hear my Roxette impression?
I did.
Thank you.
You're doing a little countdown there, aren't you?
Unfortunately, yes. Souk's the only one who heard that. Your mic is not yet turned on. I don't trust you before the liner.
Nor should you.
You know what? That's a valid point, Buck. It's a valid. That was for my ears only.
You know what that is? That's a professional radio producer right there.
Yes, it is.
And it's not just you guys. It could be a fan, a listener coming up and talking to you and dropping something.
That's
you know,
true.
It could be anything.
That's true. It could be any of these.
It's a valid point, Buck.
Numbnuts out here.
Valid point. Yeah, all of a sudden giving Yankees inappropriate nicknames.
Yeah. Or on the air.
Or on the air.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
No big deal. I don't think we can say that, but all right. no one's listening.
Do you dare me to say it again?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know.
I mean, it's the obvious.
I know it's the obvious, but I don't. Yeah. I don't think you can do that.
All right. Well, yeah. We are at A&A. We are at, this is a casino and sports book.
Yes.
Tara was looking for me earlier, but she couldn't find me because I was buried in one of the sports bars here. They have multiple bars here.
Yes, they do.
This is a big place. They've got a lot of different things to do and different places to eat.
I see the slot machines right over there.
Yep. You can pull a slot. You can play some craps or blackjack. Yeah, or
whatever you got.
What's the big game over there that...
You talking about craps?
No. Over by those TVs in the corner, they have a whole section... I learned it. Last time I went to Vegas, I learned it, and I was surprised at how simple
playing
it was.
Playing Baccarat?
Yeah, Baccarat.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that a...
It feels very sophisticated.
It feels that way, but it's not.
Yeah,
do you know,
you were saying
it's
that.
It's so simple.
No, that's whenever I think of Baccarat, I think of like James Bond type stuff. But
no.
You were saying that when you went over there. Like you were like, it's actually quite simple.
Yeah, what I like to do in Vegas is just get drunk and talk to people that know. You know, and people are nice. And I sat down with a guy who's a big Baccarat player. And he explained it to me. Oh my god! Yeah. It's like picking black or red.
See, I like a little pie gal. That was the last little bit. The last couple times that I've been down in the casino world, I get a taste for that pie gal.
Yeah, they have a pie gal table right over there.
Yeah,
Isn't Baccarat basically higher or lower?
Yes.
It's the total of dice, and you're just going lower high. That's it.
I'm telling you, it is no simpler than picking black or red. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, that's why roulette is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Yeah,
roulette.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're up in Ridgefield. We're sitting in the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. They do have some wing specials. The bar is about to open here, and the Guardians-Tigers game is on. It is 0-0 in the eighth. Great game.
Got old rock fight going on.
And we'll have the Chiefs later. And, of course, you can bet here. Sportsbook, sports gambling legal. You can bet on the Oregon game if you'd like.
Yes, you can.
The early line is Ohio State -4, I read.
Yeah. And now we have 2 versus 3. And I'll tell you what, man. I honestly, outside of Ohio State and Texas, and I'm going to say this loosely, I think I know that Texas and Ohio State are good. Outside of that, I know nothing about college football. Like, I still can't. Like Oregon blew out Michigan State. And I think that is equal parts Oregon is good and equal parts, if not more, Michigan State sucks. That is a bad football team. And if you're an Oregon State fan, I know you're looking for a silver lining, which, by the way, I saw that bananas game that went into OT. Congratulations on the Beavs for pulling one out against Colorado State. I think if you're an Oregon State fan right now, you don't miss Childs at all. I think you look at the way he's played this year at Michigan State and you're like, that was the future of our program? He's terrible. That's a bad quarterback. Not that he can't get better. There's just so much bad play right now in college football. Like, Oregon, I think, is 90th right now in red zone efficiency. They just don't play anyone, you know? And so lately, the last couple weeks, just athletically, they've overwhelmed people, but they don't look particularly good. And so here comes Ohio State. It's just college football is so... As mediocre as, like, everyone in the NFL basically is 3-2 or 2-3. I think college football might even be more messy than the NFL is right now with who's good and who's not.
Well, this to me is why all the preseason prognostications are fool's gold.
Yeah.
It's dumb. let's just watch them play.
Let it play out.
And see what happens, because yeah. you just never know.
No. I mean, if Oregon beats Ohio State this week, then you plant the flag and you're like, hey, Oregon's the second best, if not the best team in the country. It'd be the best win. I just don't honestly really know what to expect. I think Ohio State has looked better than they have all year, but I mean, I know Oregon has the talent, but they have literally played no one. And I guess Ohio State hadn't until Iowa, and that was a game for a half. It's just, it's a weird slate when you've got, what, Alabama beating Georgia and then losing to Vanderbilt, right? And
crazy.
Yeah, it's just, it's a strange world.
Well, we'll get to that in our college football cabaret. But first, we have Poll Question. That was French.
Oh, I like it.
Friday, we asked you which sport has the best playoffs, because we were bloviating about the Major League Baseball playoffs being great, and they are great thus far.
Yes.
And not every year is great. This year, right now, it has just been a dynamite postseason. But NCAA basketball won that at 35%.
I get it.
Yeah. NFL, 29%. Yeah. Baseball, 26%. NHL, 10%. That was Friday. Today we're asking you, and the question is there on X at 1080 The Fan, most pleasant sporting surprise over the weekend? Mm. Was it all the college football upsets? Was it Major League Baseball popping off? Was it game day to Eugene? Mm. Or was it Joe Flacco? Vote.
I would like to point something out.
And vote hard.
Joe Flacco had 33 completions.
Yeah, he did.
Yesterday. Do you know how many Anthony Richardson has the entire year?
12.
He's got 39. He's got 6 more completions than Joe Flacco had in one game.
Josh Allen had 9 yesterday.
Josh Allen did not look good. And that's 2 weeks in a row. Dude, the NFL has become such a week-to-week sort of league, because for the first 3 weeks, Buffalo looks unstoppable. And the last 2 weeks, they look the definition of ordinary, right? And, you know, it's
normal.
It is.
I mean,
we make way too much on a week-to-week basis in the NFL. The bottom line is, with the exception of 4 teams right now, it feels like there's like 4 really bad teams, and there's 4 teams that are better than 3-2, right? And by the way, Minnesota Vikings and Washington
Technically,
Commanders.
Technically, there are 5.
There's 5?
Well, because the Lions are 3-1.
The Lions
are
3-1.
They were off.
Yeah.
But yes, they're, you know, pretty much everybody is 2-2, 3-2, or 2-3.
Yeah. And so,
which is the NFL that we know. It's parity riddled.
It's parity, because even the teams that are really good, the record says, there's big warts there. I mean, Kansas City, and you look at it, and Kansas City's offense has been dreadful so far. They just they keep finding ways to win. So of that poll question, the biggest surprise to me was college football. Like, I thought we might have some sneaky good matchups, and we might get some scares. We talked about that going into Saturday, but no one could have predicted that. No one could have predicted that level of chaos.
5 of the top 11 go down.
Yes.
Almost 6 if Cal could have held on to beat Miami, but they didn't.
And I still can't figure out how that's not targeting and that seals the game. But, I mean, Cal should have never let it get there in the first place.
But Alabama and Tennessee in the top 5 lose. Alabama is the first AP number 1 to lose as a 3 or more touchdown favorite since 2008. Do you know who that was?
I do not. I haven't
USC
seen that. Oh.
At Oregon State.
Yeah, right when you said USC, I was like, I bet you that's the Beavs. Vanderbilt, by the way, held the ball for more than 40 minutes in that football game.
My Commodores. Do you know any Vanderbilt people that you could text and wish a congratulations?
Yeah, my cousin is a medical school graduate from Vanderbilt. But she's like double doctorate, like smartest person in the world.
She'd be like, what happened?
I think if I texted her, congratulations, her response would be like, what the hell are you talking about? And if I said,
I'm not pregnant.
And if I said football, I think her response would be, what? Don't waste my time, huh?
It's like, do you need anything?
She's trying to cure cancer. So, no, I do not have anyone that I can congratulate.
Yeah, I really wanted to like be like, ah, man, I'm really happy for Van. And then I'm thinking like, well, I don't know anyone Vandy.
Did you see the goalpost get a police escort?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw the whole thing. I mean, they're exciting.
Yes.
They're exciting.
That's awesome.
Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And they're coming off like a 2-win season.
Yeah.
It's not like they're good.
No.
I mean, they're getting better.
They're getting better.
But they're not good. No, that was wild.
But they beat Virginia Tech in a big upset. Georgia State and Missouri were both. I told you this. I said, you know, people laughed at me. And I said, we were talking about this. Me and Dave Bartu said at the beginning of the year, dude, Vanderbilt is not a bad football team. They upset Virginia Tech, which Dave called. And then they had two close losses against Georgia State and Missouri. They lost to Georgia State 36-32 and 30-27 against Missouri. And there were a lot of people that were saying, dude, Alabama, this is a classic trap spot. And the style that Vandy plays and can play keep away, and Bama's defense is a little shaky, keep an eye on that. Now, I don't think anyone predicted that. But I think people thought
because no one has any balls.
No one has any balls. But that was.
If you think it, say it.
Yeah. But that, like, that was one of those. Hey, keep an eye. That could be a close game. And then Vandy played. If in order for a Vanderbilt to beat an Alabama, the game has to unfold exactly the way their game plan has it. And Vandy played a perfect game. And how about at the end when Alabama came back and made that a one score game, right? And Alabama still had timeouts. That is classic. Get conservative, run the ball three times, punt. Alabama gets it, goes down, scores, and saves their season. And Vanderbilt came out, ran the ball one time, and then immediately went to a bootleg, picked up a first down, and then ran it down Alabama's teeth to close out the game.
Yeah, Alabama,
I love that they had the balls to be aggressive.
Can we talk about Alabama's defense kind of sucking?
It's not good.
They've given up 67 points in six quarters.
Yep. Who was it? I think it was... I don't remember if it was Herbie or if it was Klatt. I want to give credit, but someone was saying after that Georgia game, they said, believe it or not, like, I actually maybe feel better about Georgia than I do Alabama, because I think some of the holes in the second half that Alabama got exposed on the defense, they're like, that may come back to bite you. And people were giving him, I think it was Klatt, and people were giving him a bunch of crap. Well, dude, Vandy just held the ball for 40-plus minutes and scored 40 on you, so there's real issues there at Alabama.
Hot takes. There's your poll question. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Vote hard. Most pleasant sporting surprise over the weekend. Game day to Eugene. They're heading there for the Ohio State game this weekend. Yep. It'll be the 12th time that ESPN College Game Day will be there. Nick Saban, Pat McAfee,
yep,
amongst the crew. 8-3 record, if you're wondering. Ducks record on
in
game
these games?
Day. For, well, games where game day is there.
Yeah.
They've gone 8-3. And a lot of Scuddy about who the next celebrity guest picker will be at Oregon.
Yeah, because they've been through a lot of the, you know, the standard ones. Caitlin Olsen, come on down. Anybody?
Yeah,
I think she is a great candidate this year because she has a new show on ABC.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's
always touting her love for Oregon.
For sure, but now there's a cross-promotional incentive to do so.
Is that who it is? Do we know?
I don't know.
No, it just seems like an obvious choice this time because of the show on their network.
Yeah. Bring on Sweet D and please have her be vulgar. Come on. Let's go.
At any rate, that MLB popping off, all the college football upsets, or Joe Flacco, vote on X at 1080 Fan. Our college football cabaret continues next. More on Vanderbilt's upset of Alabama and where does college football go from here when we return. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Boys, we don't like Tigers and Guardians are scoreless in the top of the ninth inning.
Kwan had an unbelievable... Did you see the catch?
I did.
Oregon State's own Stephen Kwan had a ridiculous catch to save it. That would have ended the game.
Emmanuel Clase is on the mound for the Guardians. He's one of the best relievers in the game, but Tigers have runners on the corners with two outs. Yeah. And, of course, Tigers need this one. They're already down 1-0.
And a bunch of people that you've never heard of are at the plate every at-bat because who the hell knows who the Tigers are?
Oh!
I think that ended it.
Three-run jack.
Thanks for coming.
Dude.
Wow. Harry
Carpenter with a three-run bomb.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
The Tigers are the definition when you – I'm like, huh? Who the
– I know.
It's Major League, the old Cleveland Indians. Who the F are these guys?
They're all young. I was reading that in game one – I'm not sure, because Matthew Boyd started today. I don't know if you saw that for the Guardians. He's an old Oregon State guy, too.
Yeah.
And you probably forgot about him. Tommy John surgery.
There he is.
Off the map, and Guardians signed him. He's been pretty good. Obviously, he pitched well. It's 0-0, it was, in the end of the ninth. But I was reading that the Tigers and Guardians in Game 1, based on the players who appeared in Game 1, it was the youngest average age of a group of players in a playoff game since 1914.
Really?
Yes.
Yikes.
These teams are both really young. The Tigers, I mean, they had a bunch of veterans, or a few anyway, and they were kind of crappy, and so they finally at the trade deadline said, let's just get rid of those guys. We'll go young. And all of a sudden, A.J. Hinch said, yeah, we went young, but we also got a lot better.
Yeah.
They finished 31-13, and here they are. That's a huge hit. Class A is money. I mean, he doesn't give up those.
Boyd went 4 2/3, by the way, and gave up two hits and four hits, no runs. Yeah.
Man, all these series are so good.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll have big moments like this.
Oh, yeah.
Right as we're joking
drama.
About, hey, a bunch of people we've never heard of, and there's a deep drive. That's awesome.
What was I going to tell you?
We got derailed. We got derailed.
Well, it wasn't that.
We got derailed by baseball again.
Yeah.
We were talking Bama. Oh. We were talking college football.
Well, we're here at A&A watching this game.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yes.
We're at the Sportsbook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what better place to watch sports than the Sportsbook? So we got Chiefs, Saints later. We're up here in Ridgefield, right off I-5. Piece of cake from Portland to get here. Stadium, Sports Bar, and Grill is where we sit. And they have wing specials, so come on up.
Yes.
Our college football cabaret, we were talking about Vanderbilt. One of the things that I loved about college football this past weekend, and I love about college football moving forward, is that we're just getting some fresh blood.
Yeah.
Right? Teams are stealing the headlines that we wouldn't normally see. Like Vanderbilt, I mean, what? If you could name a more... I don't know what the adjective would be, but just a more nondescript, like, terrible program that never does anything.
Vanderbilt.
Wouldn't Vanderbilt be, like, in your top two or three?
100%. They're in the
When's the last time they won a big game?
They're in the... Never. They're in the SEC for, like, academic profiling. They're just like, I don't know, look, we got some smart kids down there, and it's a guaranteed win on your schedule. And anytime anyone is halfway good, like James Franklin, they just leave. Like, Vanderbilt shouldn't beat Alabama ever, and yet... It just happened.
So So and I thought that was really cool.
Well, and you saw all the teams now with all these like these time zones. I mean, I guess Miami came back, but did you see now teams that were going three time zones? I think were like 1-7.
Well, that's a whole nother. So that's John Wilner, and he's saying that his stat was Big Ten teams are 1-8 in conference games when they travel more than two time zones, which does not bode so well for Ohio State.
Yeah.
But at any rate, what the point I was getting at was Vanderbilt. It's like, when's the last time anybody thought about Vanderbilt? So it's just kind of cool to see, like, the fans in Nashville, Tennessee, carrying the goalposts down the city streets. Like, that is so fun.
With a police escort.
Yeah, it's so great.
They were going.
And then, well, sorry, then you go to game day. I was going to turn to Cal.
Yeah.
And be like, I didn't know what to expect at Cal, but I know this, that when I woke up Saturday morning, and I always flip on game day, I didn't know what to expect because it's Cal. I'm like, oh, God, is there going to be a protest? Is there going to be anyone there? Do they even care? And I turned it on half prepared to cringe about the turnout.
Sure.
Oh, my God, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
They were great. They showcased their love of college football. Their signs were some of the best you'll see all year at game day. And so I just love, this is what I love about college football right now, is Vanderbilt. We're talking about freaking Vanderbilt. Yep. And freaking Cal.
I can't believe, though, Cal.
It's great.
Cal gave up 21 in the fourth quarter and lost that game. I just, that hurt.
It's a stinger.
They had no business losing that game. And Miami, I don't know what to make of it. Look, Miami should have two losses, and I know the refs have helped them out. Oh. But, look, in a world of college football where we saw Tennessee get upset, we saw, you know, Alabama get upset, we've seen Ole Miss go down, we've seen all these teams go down over the last couple weeks, I guess just give credit to Miami for finding ways. Because at this point, in the world of college football, man, survive in advance.
That's right.
Who gives two blanks about style points? Find ways to win, and even if that means bribing refs, give Miami credit. They've found a way to stay afloat these last 2 weeks.
If you had a 12-team playoff right now of unbeatens, it would be the most glorious playoff of all time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State. Okay?
Okay.
Those are your big boys.
Sure.
Then you would have Miami, Iowa State, BYU, Indiana, Army, Navy, Pitt, and Liberty. Come on, man. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And we do this every year when we start. Like, this, remember Washington State that was like, well, look at our schedule. We can go undefeated. No, you won't. You'll lose. And so, you know, it'll sort itself out. And, you know, there's not – I guess that's the fun thing is we don't know, maybe Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, maybe one of them rises up. But there does not appear to be a great team in college football this year. There just doesn't. And so I think maybe this year might, with the 12-team playoff, maybe do we get some new blood in there. But once we get into the playoff, you know, we always thought, like, it'll end up being Alabama, Georgia, you know, Texas, Ohio State. Maybe there's a chance that we get some Cinderellas that actually get into the playoff and make some noise if this, the first, you know, couple, you know, months of the season have been any indicator.
By the way, you know the 2008 game where USC lost to Oregon State?
Yeah.
That was the last time an AP number one lost as a 3 or more touchdown favorite. That was Lyle Moyval's Oregon State Beavers.
Okay.
Where Jaquizz Rodgers ran for 186 yards.
Yep.
Do you know what that season was for Oregon State, that the culmination of their season?
I don't.
A very memorable bowl game.
Was that the stupid Sun Bowl?
Yes.
That was the 3-whatever?
That was the year that they beat Pitt in the Sun Bowl 3-0.
Oh, yeah.
In El Paso.
Yeah, the wind was blowing.
Yes.
And the brute Sun Bowl.
That's the team that beat the number one USC Trojans.
See? And this is why
love it.
And this is why you can't do comparative statements, right? We beat this team, that team beat this team, and therefore you can't do it. It's just the world of college football right now, man, it's week to week.
Well, I'm going to do it.
So Georgia State runs the SEC then, basically, at this
Georgia
point.
Georgia State?
Yeah, I think Georgia State.
Why?
Because it's...
Who'd they beat? They
beat Vanderbilt.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vanderbilt beat Alabama. Alabama beat Georgia.
Georgia State runs the SEC. It's the way it works.
We will continue with our college football cabaret coming up next. Life comes at you fast.
Yes, it does.
When we return on The Fan. It is Monday night, but the party could be any night here at ALNA. Because didn't we say, I think Friday we were talking about it being the beginning, or no, Thursday was the beginning of 55 straight nights with football?
Absolutely. And we got Major League Baseball playoffs, and don't forget, hot NBA preseason action. WNBA playoffs, that, if that doesn't
mean
for you. I
gotta tell you, that viscerally makes me mad that on one of the screens up here is Hornets. Knicks and Hornets preseason. Oh, my God.
Somebody's betting on it.
I know you
know
love your
are.
WNBA. The Aces were eliminated.
They are.
I know you're heartbroken.
Las Vegas is out?
They will not three-peat. I know you care so much.
I heard they were cheaters.
No. Oh yeah, there was some sort of pay scandal.
Okay.
Apparently, they're a bunch of college athletes, and like they're getting accused of illegally paying players.
But Buck's right; that is the beauty of a sports book. Is that you come into a sports book, you have a big bank of TVs like this. I mean, inevitably, somebody's bet on something.
Yeah, I do take exception though that the Hornets are on one screen, and then on this other, Michael Irvin's got a sweater wrapped around his shoulders, and he's screaming about God knows what.
Yeah, some talk show.
That man, you ever watch like The Ultimate Warrior, like back in the day, and you're like, his heart's going to explode, and then it did at 52. How is Michael Irvin not dead of a massive coronary?
Did you see him during the Cal Miami game on the sideline?
Yeah, dude, he's going to stroke out.
He's on his hands and knees like a dog.
Yeah.
He's high T too. So if I did a high tee off between Mike Irvin.
It's Michael Irvin.
Really?
Yeah.
Mike Irvin, Nick Castellanos, or Jesse Winker?
No, it's Michael Irvin.
Okay, Ray Lewis, Mike Irvin, Jesse Winker.
I don't think there is a more whatever.
Is he the highest of
T? He is the highest T man known to the universe. And if you've seen him, like he's like,
what about Shannon Sharp grunting during sex?
Boy, that's pretty good. If you had Michael if you had Michael Irvin and Shannon Sharp, then maybe you would have a competition. Because, you know, both those guys are in their 50s. Do you know how much artificial testosterone is flowing through those veins? Like, I can't. There might, you know, like when you're a cancer patient and you put the pick in, so there's just that constant stream of medication. They're like Bane. They have that, but with testosterone, and not like normal human testosterone. Dude, that's like, they've got like bull testosterone going. It's like a mix of like silverback gorilla, like PBR Pro Bowl, and some sort of like elephant. It's just going through their system at all times.
Just me, or are there too many of these shows with... You know, with like this one is called Speak, apparently, and it's got Paul Pierce, Michael Irvin, and Keyshawn Johnson on it. Do we need that?
Apparently.
Are there like 800 of these shows with these guys?
Yes. And then there's a hot, and then she tries to mitigate all of their insane screaming at one another. Shannon
That's
Sharp.
That's Joy Taylor right there, isn't
it? Yeah, she looks great. Shannon Sharp was about ready to assault Dan Orlovsky today.
He was.
Even Stephen A. was like, whoa.
Look, now to a real sport.
Yeah.
Kerry Carpenter of the Tigers just became... Detroit has erupted, by the way.
I know. It was 0-0 in, like, what, in the eighth?
Well, I mean the city.
Oh, the
city. Because of our Tigers.
Yes.
And my Tigers.
And the Lions. Let's not forget the Lions.
The Lions, too, but I think... I mean, well, yeah. Both.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be a Detroit fan. Whoever said that?
No one ever.
Kerry Carpenter is the third player in Tigers history with a go-ahead home run in the ninth inning or later of a playoff game. Joining Al Kaline in 1972 and Maglio Ordóñez in 2006.
How about that?
Now, he hit it off Emmanuel Clase, who is the Guardians' closer. Mm-hmm. I looked up his stats. Do you care to guess his ERA for the season? Clase pitched in 74 games the Guardians.
He's arguably the best closer in baseball. I'm guessing it's a one-something.
His ERA this season was .61. He had given up 5 runs in 74 innings.
And he gave up 3
And he gave up a 3-run jack to Kerry Carpenter in the ninth.
Once again, let me ask, who, what? The Carpenters? What?
Crazy.
Well, they write a great tune. It's a great little folk band, and apparently they hit 3-run home runs. And now, every series going into, if your Royals live up to their end of the bargain here, every series will be tied 1-1.
Yeah, but we're battling the umps.
The umps.
We're battling the replay officials.
And uncomfortable nicknames.
The mighty Yankees. Although, I got to be honest with you,
I'm
not
Chaz
that impressed
Jizzle.
With the Yankees. I'm not that impressed. Aaron Judge can't hit. They got holes up and down their lineup.
Well,
then
it should be 1-1.
Clay Holmes. Put Clay Holmes in again. We'll tag him eventually. I mean, come on.
Then it should
be 1-1. We got Cole Reagans going tonight.
Should be 1-1.
Feeling pretty good about it. At any rate, let's get back to our college football cabaret. We'll do that next. That'll be followed by our stock watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.